Good morning. My name is Casey Cease. I have the joy of serving as one of your elders here at Redeemer Church, and I have the honor of preaching about peace. Christmas is known as a season of peace, but for many, that is not how we would define it. Students, you're wrapping up a semester, a lot of shopping, which I don't know about you, but I try to encourage my family to do a lot of that online, and then celebrate the UPS people as they bring my shopping to us. But you're out shopping, you're wrapping up deadlines at work, your family dynamics are getting spicy, relationships are strained, schedules are nonstop, you're going to Christmas parties, sometime with people that you enjoy to be with, and other times you get to go to Christmas parties with people that you are obliged to be with. But peace is not something that most people, even Christians, would say, this is how I would define this wonderful season. And quite honestly, we have a bunch of running definitions, and oftentimes the idea of peace is more external or circumstantial than consequential. And a lot of times now we see in our culture that Christmas isn't really much about Jesus. It's about the spirit of the season or decorations or parties and presents, sentimentality. And none of these things are bad in and of themselves. They're not bad things. I'm not here saying, don't do any of that. No fun here. It's only God and no fun. But usually it's like, oh yeah, Jesus. And rather what the Bible calls us to is like, no, as we understand the actual gift provided to us on Christmas, all of those good and fun things ultimately point to the ultimate gift given to us rather than are meant to distract from that ultimate gift. Because if we're honest, most of the time, there's a deep quest in our souls to pursue peace, yet we pursue it in places and people and things that were never created to provide us with this lasting situation, enduring peace. So the main point we'll grab from the main passage of this morning and throughout the sermon is Jesus came to bring God's peace to those who receive his saving grace. Jesus came to bring God's peace to those who receive his saving grace. And we have to unpack that a bit because God's peace is not necessarily aligned with what the peace that the world longs for is after. And so we have to understand, what is this lasting peace that is given to us? And so as we see in Luke chapter 2, as my friend Brad read so well, is that we see a group of shepherds out there doing what shepherds do, shepherding their sheep. And out of nowhere, they weren't waiting for, longing for, begging for, asking for anything we see here. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great, doesn't say peace. Seems kind of antithetical, opposite of peace. And if you actually translate the word, it's terror. They were utterly terrified. So the glory of God, we talk in church, glory of God, glory of God, God's glory. The glory of God, very simply put, is all that God is manifest and revealed. It's overwhelming for the created beings. These shepherds out there doing their work, an angel of the Lord comes in overwhelming presence, and their response is typical of the response of those who are exposed even to a glimpse of the holiness and perfection, mercy, wrath, grace of God. As it's exposed, there brings this great, terrified response. That's different. I'm not worthy. Terrified. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Saying this to shepherds, by the way. Shepherds weren't upper class. They probably weren't the top givers in their synagogue. Weren't the movers and shakers, weren't the politicians. The glory of God revealed to these people, the shepherds, it's good news, great joy. Most people I talk to are really longing for joy and for peace. But we're looking for it in all the wrong places. It goes on, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So as we see, before there's ever a proclamation of peace, there is great horror, there is terror in the shepherds. And this is true because peace always begins not with us finding calm, but with God meeting us in our fear with his saving grace. This exposure of the fact that before a holy and righteous and wonderful and perfect God, that we are found unclean and lacking and wanting. We are exposed in our inadequacies. We are exposed and revealed our limitations. We are broken down, not from what we've built up or the facade and masks we wear around others, but before a holy God, it is all revealed. But he meets us there. So the first thing we'll talk about today is that peace begins with God breaking into our fear with his saving grace. Throughout the Old Testament, when it calls God's people to fear God, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is this rebooting of sorts. It is this re-leveling of where we stand before a holy and perfect God on our own. Prior to this Advent series, we've been going through Genesis. We had two wonderful chapters. And then man and woman decided to go their own way. And then in Genesis 4, we saw a murder of one brother of another, and a lineage and a split between those that were righteous and those who were unrighteous. And then Genesis 6, we saw that it had turned into, as we call it today, a dumpster fire of sorts, where everyone was going after their own ways, doing whatever pleased them. But this peace that God brings is not a peace that we are just feeling or experiencing in a moment. It is one that's much more consequential, that breaks into our fear, breaks into our vulnerability, and it's his saving grace that is lasting and consequential, that leads us on a path to actually experiencing this ultimate peace. This appearance of this angel of the Lord produced great fear before it brought great hope. It wasn't a small God. I don't know about you, there has not been much lately that has surprised me on the news or in life or on social media. Not a lot going on. And if you understand history, everyone's like, well, the world's on fire. Go back to first century Rome. We actually have laws now that prevent some of the stuff that was going on. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but back then it was a utter free-for-all. And so before we despair too much, fear the world and all that's going wrong in the world, we've got to realign to the God who is over all things. Because the only path to us experiencing this lasting consequential peace isn't us just on our own trying to fix it, but beginning with that of gratitude and worship of the one who has made a way for it to be fixed. This fear not is a declaration that there is a reason to not fear. I don't know about you, I often feel fear. Sometimes it shows up as anxiety. Being a guy, it shows up as anger. I always tell people it's easier to feel mad than afraid or sad. So anger, I feel angry at the world, things going on, but ultimately underneath that, there's this great anxiety and fear that I'm not in control and that there's not much I feel like I can do about that. But this focus of the angels first addressing the reality of fear not, that's not a suggestion, by the way. It's a command. Now, don't get me wrong, children. If you see an electric coil on a stove that's orange, fear it. Do not touch it. My little Braylon, who's now 19, when she was a teenager, we were at our first house here in Brenham, and I had this fold-down ironing board with an iron on it, and she got the gaze of this iron. and I see her finger come up, and I said, "Don't you touch that." Old girl walked up with the sass and the stank eye, touched it, burned herself, and looked at me like it was my fault. Fear is not all bad. At times it is appropriate, it's protective, but a lot of times the time we give and spend to the fear of hypotheticals, we miss out on the joy that is ours, found through the peace of God that He gives us through Christ. Because ultimately we forget who the sovereign one is. So the disruption of our fear is a realignment with the sovereignty of God. That if there is one thing we ought to fear, and that fear has been invited to be abated through peace, we can truly be fearless without becoming arrogant. We can be fearless and humble. But notice, the message is good news. The consequence of that good news is great joy. This lasting, abiding, penetrating, transformative joy that we've been given through the ultimate gift of God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. But notice it says this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." So this isn't a message of peace for all. It's for peace for all with whom He is well pleased. Well, how do we ever, as imperfect beings who are flawed and sinful, ever please God? The good American in us would say, well, then what can we do? How do we do this? I'm a good person. I'm this. Let's put the inner defense attorney away and see what the Bible has to say. The second thing I want us to grab is this. The peace that Jesus brings is different than the peace the world is pursuing. In the world defines peace as freedom from disturbance. It's a state or period where there's no war or war has ended. There's no conflict. It feels good. It feels zen, as it were, all these things. That's not the peace that is defined throughout scriptures. The peace of the world is kind of like noise-canceling headphones. Any of you have those AirPod things that I wear? There's no quicker way to infuriate some in my home than for them to call out and no one answer. If you don't know this, parents, they do have a feature on the AirPods that you can actually hear through. And husbands, I want to advise you that's a good feature to wear when others are in the home and attempt to communicate. But often people think it's peace. That's not real noise canceling. It doesn't mean all the noise actually stops. The noise is still going. It's just there's a feature that stops you from experiencing that noise. That's what most people look for in peace. They don't really care about peace for other people. They just don't want the noise. That's the worldly definition of peace. It's like, I want my peace. Peace on earth, yeah, good luck. But Jesus makes it clear that the peace He brings is much, much different. It's much more consequential. It's much more lasting. And so you have to take the declaration of these angels, the angel of the Lord and the angels singing, that there's peace for those with whom He's well pleased. And you go to Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, where He says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Huh. "For I have not come to set a man against, I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Well, that's a given. "And a person's enemy will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus did not come to bring this Zen kumbaya version of peace. In fact, Jesus came to bring God's peace, reconciliation with the Father through the accomplished work of His Son. This peace divides before it unites, because not all will receive Him. Not all will trust Him. Not all will believe in Christ. There are cultures even today that if you trust in Jesus Christ, you might be killed. You will definitely be disowned. Mother will be stripped from her children and exiled away for trusting Christ. And so on one hand, we're saying, trust in Jesus and experience peace. And Jesus is also saying, take up your cross and follow me. So if you're bought into the worldly definition of peace, that everything's all good, then you're always going to be offended by the peace of God. Because the peace of God comes at great cost, at great sacrifice, at times great pain. It comes through conflict. It comes through brokenness. This type of peace is a lasting peace. So what exactly, then, is this biblical peace? Well, Paul brings it really clearly for us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace Jesus purchases is found through peace with God because of his work. So justification is basically like you're very guilty, you're going to court, the judge sees you, he sees Jesus, and he says you're not guilty. Because Jesus became sin so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. Therefore, God sees us, sin and all. It's not that he just can't see it, can't look at it, anything else, chooses not to, pushes it away. No, Jesus died as a substitute on the cross for the penalty and payment of sin for all who believe. And those who believe are no longer standing guilty before God, but are found not guilty because of God. And therefore, we have peace with God. We're free to be called sons and daughters of God. We are then adopted in as his children, completely forgiven, completely free, and completely invited by the power of the Spirit to live in this freedom. We're no longer bond slaves to sin and death, but rather slaves to Christ and righteousness. This type of peace comes with knowing we are good, God, because you made us good. That peace allows us to face hard things and do hard things and say hard things. Without that type of peace, the peace you're longing for in the Advent season, is no peace at all. So I think it's funny how pretty we make the word peace in Advent. All good cursive writing, for those that can read cursive. Beautiful. Oh, it's peace candle. It should be a torch. It should be like a blowtorch of peace. When you're justified by faith, in Hebrews 11, 1, it says, faith is but the confident assurance of what we hope for, the evidence of things not yet seen. That's the only way to Christ. In Ephesians 2, it says, this faith is a gift from God. That God grants us the gift of faith to believe on Christ, and that faith alone is what makes us right. It's not your works. It's not based on performance. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not based on our ethnic origins. Don't know about you. Have you ever known anyone that's difficult to love and super hard to like? And if we try to put our understanding on God, there's a bunch of people who are like, you sure? That person? You sure? But the unconditional love of God doesn't just love us on our good days when we've done the quiet times, read the scriptures, memorized the things, didn't talk back to our parents, obeyed the rules, drove the speed limit, drank only 2 cups of coffee, didn't have the third cookie. Those aren't just the day. He also loves us and pursues us when we have hit rock bottom, when we are not living in a way that is pleasing to him. And Lord willing, he interrupts that with the fear of God so that we can experience the peace of God through Christ. The peace the soul is longing for isn't merely an alleviation of conflict or struggles. I know we think that's it. Man, if we could just stop fighting, if we could just stop wrestling, if we could just stop having hard times, if our money would just be a little bit better, if our weight would be a little bit lower, if my health would be a little bit stronger, whatever these things are, then I will experience peace. But that's not the peace being offered. The peace of God that surpasses this understanding is a peace that endures in those moments. This longing and desire in our soul, knowing that even though it's not okay, it will be okay. This lasting peace that we have with God allows us to say to people, you're not okay right now. It's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay not okay because Christ makes things all okay. That's how we move forward in repentance and in transformation and in change and in being different, is the baby step towards Christ. Because in that pursuit, even though it's not easy, there is a peace that lasts. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul writes, "All this is from God, all these things are from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself." So he did the reconciling to himself and gave us as a result a ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Have you ever known anyone in your life that has truly forgiven you and you can really sense that they're not holding the past against you? I have. Fortunately, I married her. I sit in a lot of marriage coaching scenarios where we're still fighting things from 11 years ago. That doesn't mean we just put it away and don't think about anything else. It's just we're able to own it. We're able to identify it and speak to it. We're able to repent of it to God and to the other person. We're able to forgive, and we're able to own, if we're the offender, that there is times to rebuild. There needs to be time and proactivity to rebuild some trust in that area. And we start doing whatever needs to happen to rebuild that trust. And through that pain and through that struggle, peace is found. A peace that God gives. So once we understand that this real, true peace of Advent, this lasting, eternal peace with God, we're able to face the anxieties of our day. And there's just this huge advent of physiological, psychological anxiety. High pulse rate, shallow breathing, racing thoughts, difficulty sleeping, there's just so much of it going on. I've struggled with it. I've had to deal with it. And so a lot of times people say they want peace, meaning I want an alleviation of anxiety. But what I found is the harder I try to not be anxious, the more anxious I become. Don't judge me, but I have a psychology degree, my undergrad. No, I don't know what you're thinking right now. In one of my first psychology courses, the professor with 300 students in the class had a picture of an apple on the slide. So that's an apple. And we're all like, okay, this is going to be a rough semester. And then he puts up an orange and says, that is an orange. Yes. He says, apples and oranges are not related. When I say apple, do not think orange. When I say orange, do not think apple. Apple and oranges are not related. If you think apple, do not think orange. If you think orange, do not think apple. He went on for a minute. We're like, this guy's nuts. So he's lecturing, and he goes, apple. Everybody's like, oh, man. Throughout the rest of the semester, he would have slides, pictures of oranges and apples all throughout, and it was absolute hilarious and torture both at the same time. So the harder we try not to be anxious, we have a tendency to be anxious. I remember one bout 20 years ago dealing with anxiety, and I was like, if I just stop being anxious, if I stop being anxious, I'd be anxious about it being anxious. And then I got anxious about not feeling anxious. Well, I don't feel anxious right now. When's it going to happen again? Well, guess what happened? Laugh at me rather than cry for yourself. That's okay. But interestingly, Paul speaks to this in Philippians chapter 4. And he brings a weird formula of experiencing this peace. He starts out this passage with rejoice. Return to your source of joy. And guess what? He repeats himself. When Paul repeats himself, he means it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Then he says something that doesn't seem very present in our church is overall today. Let your reasonableness, which that must be a supernatural gift that we need to pray for. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Why? The Lord is at hand. because the Lord is near. Just as the shepherd saw the angel of the Lord appear, the Lord is near and at hand. Because of that, we can rejoice in the Lord that he is present, he is mindful, he is active. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, which was a great evangelism tool these days, just being reasonable. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. So instead of anxiety, anxiety's happening. He said, but conversely, here's what you can do. He's not saying just don't be anxious. He said, instead of being anxious, do this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, going to God. God, you are this. Your word says, I pray these verses to God when I'm feeling anxious. God, your word says to not be anxious. I feel anxious. I want to obey. Your word says then to pray. I'm praying. Supplication means ask for what you want or need. The worst thing that can happen is God says no or not yet. Best thing that happens, he could say yes. God, I'm anxious. Your word says come to you. That's actually faithfulness. Oh, I'm anxious. He says, don't be anxious. Don't talk to me. There's a semicolon. Keeps going. Don't be anxious. When you are anxious, by prayer, maybe some deep breathing, because a lot of times physiological effects of anxiety, and there's some experts here that can speak to that more than I, but what I've read and known is typically we forget to breathe deeply when we're having racing thoughts, and it makes our heart rate go up and everything else, get lightheaded, and we think we're going to die. And some of you go to ERs. And it's not a heart attack. Prayer and supplication. The third one's tough. Thanksgiving. God, I thank you for this anxiety that reminds me I need you and to come back to you. Thank you for a circumstance that seems impossible because you make all impossible things possible. Thank you, Lord, that I can come through this anxiety and I can trust that all things will be okay in the end. God, thank you that even if I bomb this test, that my definition and my identity isn't just found in my grade point average, which no one will ask me about after my first job. Let your requests be made known to God. I think one of our fundamental issues with experiencing this peace is that we don't take the time to get to know God. If you're doing your quiet time and you're not trying to get to know God, you're just being quiet. We sit with the Lord, we speak with the Lord, we read his word, we read doctrinally rich books, we study theologies to know God so that when these things happen and we press in, we don't feel his promises in the moment. We don't know if we can even trust. And so it's why the faith of a mustard seed, real small, can actually move a mountain is because he does the heavy lifting. And we come and we bring it. Make your request be made known to God. And then here's the promise. And the peace of God, what is this peace of God? Which surpasses all understanding will do what? Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is proactive. The peace of God is at work. The peace of God brings truth back in the situation. The peace of God brings stability. The peace of God helps you understand that your past is not necessarily the destination of your future. The peace of God lets you know that he is in control and that he is mindful. The peace of God lets you know that death isn't the worst thing that can happen. This peace that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts. When the deceiver is most likely to want to come and change your emotions and your feelings, the peace of God reveals that some of these emotions and feelings are not true. They're not your lasting reality. It's not the final story. It's where you are. It'll guard your minds. This peace of God is a mind that is saying, I'm feeling and thinking these things. I do not have to live into these things. God is going to provide a way. It will guard us. This peace is proactive. This peace enables us and empowers us not to avoid and run from hard things, but to go through them. At times, the path to peace isn't avoiding conflict, it's through it. In fact, conflict handled rightly actually can produce more trust and intimacy than conflict avoided. So this Advent season, I want to encourage us to be intentional to pursue the joy and peace that we're made to and redeemed to experience in Christ. Yeah, Christmas time may be crazy for you. Work might be crazy. Kids might be crazy. They turn into hungry hippos for presents. They want all the marbles. And that, and that, and that. And you forget the batteries. But ultimately, the invitation for us in this piece is that we are invited to find time to slow down. We're invited to find time to reflect and to pray. We're empowered and enabled through the peace of God that surpasses understanding to give. And it's okay also to enjoy. Because this peace that surpasses understanding is a peace that's been purchased and provided and applied through understanding the terror of the Lord in view of our fallenness and in view of his greatness, through the advent of his son being born ultimately to die as a lamb is led to the slaughter. So Christ Jesus died on the cross. Through his death, the victory seemed to be lost, but the victory was actually won because God's power rose him from the dead, defeating sin, death, and Satan. So if any man, woman, or child believes on Jesus Christ, has faith in his work, not their own, they will be forgiven and they will be adopted as a son and a daughter. They will be given the power and the spirit that brings a peace that surpasses understanding, because Jesus came to bring God's peace to those who receive a saving grace. Where are you today in light of this holy and perfect God who is not far away, but is actually near? Are you at peace with God solely through the work of Jesus Christ? If you're not, today is the day you trust Jesus. Jesus, yes, I trust you. I need you. More than the short-term benefit of alleviating something, I want this lasting peace that surpasses understanding. I want forgiveness and acceptance by the Father. I want to be adopted as a son or daughter. If you will take me, here I am. For many of us here, we have known this peace and maybe have wandered from it. The beautiful thing in the Bible doesn't say try harder, it says repent. Change your posture, change your direction, change your thinking towards Christ, and come home. Experience the peace of God that he purchased through Christ. And for those of you that are struggling and life is hard and things are happening, we see you. We're not saying don't feel the things you're feeling or be in where you're at, but we're inviting you, saying don't go it alone. God's near to you and we're here for you. While I love celebrating weddings with people, I'm probably over-exaggerating that a little bit. I appreciate what God's doing through weddings, what he's bringing together. There's a true sacred honor of walking with people in the final moments of their life and with their family afterwards, in the hard things. When all the pride is stripped away and all we have is Jesus left. It's a beautiful, glorious work of our God and the peace of God that he promises to bring. So go out, enjoy the chaos, enjoy the lights, enjoy the parties. Don't enjoy too much eggnog or whatever your holiday vice is. For me, it's my wife's ginger cookies. You can ask me about how that's going. But invite the Lord in, invite his people in, that we might really be a people that surrounds others with the real peace that surpasses understanding, because that's a gift from God through his people for his glory. Let's pray.